Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion approached him and appealed to him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, suffering dreadfully. He said to him, I will come and cure him. The centurion said in reply, Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come here, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and said to those following him, Amen, I say to you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. And I say to you, many will come from the east and the west, and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet in the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
These readings for the first weekday of Advent are meant to focus on the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, that God's salvation was not merely going to be for the Jews, but extended to all peoples. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream toward it, saying, Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain. At the end of the gospel today, Jesus affirms, I say to you, many will come from the east and the west, will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet in the kingdom of heaven. People with the faith like the centurion in the gospel. A faith that he hadn't found in all of Israel. You know, there are many questions that I have for Jesus that he hasn't answered in my personal prayer. I hope that I'll have the chance for all eternity to nag him to finally give an answer. One question that I really want to ask Jesus with that is, including your mom, Jesus, you never found this faith in all of Israel. But nevertheless, he, with his typical superlative and hyperbole, Jesus would say, this is the type of faith that I want. That's why it appears on this first weekday in Advent, to get us to focus that just like God's message wasn't merely for the Jews, but for everybody, so our preparation for Christ at the end of time, for Christ in Bethlehem in history, for Christ here, and every time we meet him in a daily encounter, that's not just supposed to be for us as Catholics. God's will is that it extend to everyone. Nevertheless, what I want to focus on today is the application these readings would have to our celebration of our dedication. That house that was established in the Lord's highest mountain and raised above the hills, when they would come so that the Lord might instruct them in his ways, so that they might walk in his paths, is here. That's what the Mass is. There's a reason why churches were generally built elevated with huge staircases. It wasn't to exclude those who were handicapped at the end of their life, but it was to raise it on a promontory so that we would be rising up to the Lord's mountain. Mountain always symbolic of climbing up to meet the Lord closer to heaven. It's here that we need to come and say, Lord, instruct us in your ways. Not just so that we can learn this and pass a Jeopardy contest on Catholicism or theology. Instruct us in your ways so that we might walk in your paths. And that's what Jesus does here in this holy place. But he does more than that. Later on in the prophet Isaiah, he would say that the Lord has established on this mountain a banquet for all peoples. We're going to be hearing about it soon in Advent. Choicest food that he'll give. That's precisely what he does here in this place, consecrated to his work and glory. And we come and we say, Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. We're now saying that with regard to Holy Communion at the end. But we should also be saying it, Lord, we're not worthy to be in the same location as you. We're not worthy to have you in this house made by human sweat and labor. But yet, you say the word, and we're able to approach in your presence. It's unbelievable, the reality that happens here in a church. But we're supposed to approach that reality with incredible faith. And our faith for what we receive here begins with a real humility, a genuine recognition of God's unbelievable majesty, which alone helps us to appreciate his condescension, his kenosis, his coming down to meet us precisely where we're at. If we don't understand that we're not worthy to have God come down, then we're never really going to be able to thank him adequately for his having come, for all his mercy, for the many ways that he enters into our life and does for us even greater miracles than he did for the servant of the centurion. That's where it begins. And that encounter can happen everywhere. But there's special meaning to the fact that God and the church that he set on up wanted it to happen in specific places. You know, we're in an age in which many people call themselves spiritual, in contrast to religious. And the easiest definition between the two is the spiritual believe that God exists. They want to have a relationship with God, but they want it on their own terms. If they think that they can pray better squatting on the John in their bathroom, that's where they should pray. If they think that they can pray the Mass better, if they have it in a classroom or in a hall, that's the place to do it, because it's all based on their own preferences. The religious are those who believe that God exists, want to have a relationship with him, but want to have it on his own terms, on God's terms, to say, thy will be done rather than my preferences be enacted. And for us in this day, where there are so many people who call themselves spiritual, praying in their backyard, lying down in a hammock with a good book of spiritual reading, we need to say there's something incredibly significant that these walls have all been consecrated with sacred chrism, that the altar was drenched in sacred chrism, that this is a place that's been sanctified for God's glory, and that we come here recognizing that this is a place unlike other places. Not only can we pray to the Lord everywhere, and we're called to pray to the Lord at all times, but we're called to pray here in a special way. And once we begin to recognize that, then we begin to see different forms of the Lord's presence and fail to take them for granted. There are lots of ways that we can see Christ in others, but there's a supreme way we're called to see and encounter Christ, which is in the sacraments, especially in the sacrament of sacraments, the Eucharist. That the Lord calls us here to feed us with himself, and we're called to meet his eager desire to feed us with our own eager desire. And that brings us to the responsorial psalm. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. To come here to the Lord's house with joy is what should really characterize us as Catholics, and others should see it. And this is one of the reasons why Pope Benedict is calling the church to a new evangelization. Because so often, especially in the West, he observes throughout the world that people aren't coming to church with joy. First, they're not going up to the Lord's house at all, many of them. But among those who do, a lot of the times they're just fulfilling a duty. People aren't seeing how excited they are. They dress in a particular way that doesn't show on the outside that they believe that this is something which deserves their best. The enthusiasm is often absent when they come. That is all supposed to change. We started yesterday the new translations. And one thing that's important for us to do when we do it, as it's going to be unnatural at the beginning, is to try to do it not only focused on the Lord to whom we're speaking, but also, very intentionally, full of joy. Because it's when we go rejoicing to the house of the Lord that then the nations will see that there's something here, the real source of our joy, who has a name, and that name is Jesus, and this is his house. We're not worthy that he should come here, but out of love he does anyway, and he invites us to come to his house, and then he wants to make us his house through Holy Communion. There's no greater source of joy than that.